ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Now that's the way to start the morning here. Led Zeppelin, ESPN 1000. I'm Xander. He's Brian Hanley. Happy Saturday. Couple of wins yesterday, Brian. Not too shabby. The Red Sox. I always love seeing the Red Sox at Wrigley because seeing the Cubs at Fenway is also charming because of the ballpark.
Tom Ricketts took their blueprint from the Red Sox and pretty much implemented it here, right?
Right. Yeah. 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 And it's not a bad blueprint to copy.
No, no, because it prints money.
Well, allegedly. Allegedly.
I'm pretty sure if all the rooftops and everything.
Well, you know it does, but he's not admitting that.
No.
Remember, I mean, biblical? Remember that word, biblical?
Yeah. Biblical losses of biblical proportions. But, I mean, he stole Theo Epstein. I mean, he went and got Theo, and then he basically redid Wrigley like they redid Fenway. And, you know,
Those were the good old days where it seems like he was doing everything right.
Right. I mean, you know, he was making money, but he's also winning a World Series.
Now he's just making money.
Yeah, no more World Series.
So the White Sox, you know, when I was younger, I hate to be the old craggly man, but when I was younger.
That was old school baseball right there.
Yeah, it was. But when I was younger, I loved the late night starts on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, I'm like chin to chest at 10:30. I wake up going, what happened?
What happened?
We're still 0-0, nothing. Yep. Finally, I had to turn it in. Because I wanted to be coherent today, and sleep does that for me. So I woke up and I saw none other than Leury García won the game for the White Sox. And then I went on Twitter this morning, and of course, you know, all my follows, a lot of them are White Sox smartasses like myself. And somebody says, oh, great, Leury won the game. Now he will be in the lineup every day.
That was my
reaction. End of the season.
That, I mean, did you hear what Tony said after the game?
No, not yet.
Be careful for what you wish, because Tony acted like this guy's on the finalists for the All-Star ballot.
Well, like we knew that was, and no, I'm not wishing to see him every day. As a matter of fact.
You don't have to wish. The manager is basically telling you this guy, he called him special. The guy is raised his average. I know it's an old school stat. He's up to 200. Can
special be labeled to anything under 300 if we're going to use batting average?
Well, I mean, Tony, one thing Tony does is hyperbole.
Oh, he does it very well. He's an expert.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, guts and glory and blah, blah, blah. He uses all those adjectives for Lance Lynn, and that's terrific. Lance was terrific. And I mean, that first inning, you wondered how that was going to play out. He had 29.
But he muscled through. That's old school baseball, right?
Sure.
You get yourself into trouble, you muscle through
it. Get him out.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're 12 or 14. You're going through the, you know, you're mowing them down. 12 of the next 14 you get.
Yep.
But Tony, I mean, calling Leury special, and then that's the guy who he is. And you have been watching closely the last 2 weeks. He's like ready. He's on the cusp of breaking out. Breaking out to what?
I have a theory on this whole Leury thing. This bromance has made me nuts. I've been tweeting about it, and my theory is this. And I think we had talked to that sports writer. I can't remember his name. Your buddy from St. Louis a few weeks ago. Yeah, and when we were talking to him, he did, you know, share with us that it's completely in Tony's character in the past down in St. Louis, probably in Oakland as well, that he would find a player that's a little under the radar and just champion him.
Yep.
And I don't know what that is, if it's a need to find, you know, a diamond in the rough and to build that person up and to support them, until they do something, as opposed to, you know, if a player performs, then you reward them with more time. What Tony seems to do is pick that one person and just keep playing him until maybe something happens. Now, if you do that, your batting average might not be very good as a coach picking a player to, you know, a pick-to-click type player. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Leury did it last night. Okay, that's great. But how many times has he not done it? The batting average for Tony.
800.
Right.
8 out of 10 would tell
you. The batting average for Tony on Leori Love is it's under 200.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about it. It's like a Netflix series, Tony Loves Lurie.
Yes, and it's been renewed for another season, hopefully.
Oh, I think you're going to get, I mean, he's going to dump 8 episodes today on you. I mean, because he was just effusive about, and God bless, he need, you know, 2-out hit in the 9th inning, and it's 1-0, and you know, thank God, you know, Lance Lynn, I didn't realize, I mean, I knew he was struggling since he came back, but he had a 6 ERA, 6.19.
Yeah.
And that first inning, you're like, oh my, this is not what you want to start.
No, certainly not. But I knew I had good, solid confidence that he was going to power through.
Well, and Tommy Listello's there for you too, my old Cub friend. Yeah.
And Jesse too.
Yeah.
Jesse loves Tommy Listello. Yeah. You know, I was hoping that Rick Hahn would call down and say, Tony, could you please back down to the hyperbole? Can we have Leori kind of do this like 5 games in a row before we actually start giving him this undue love to the press?
Call him special. Call him a big-time player.
Big-time player.
Big-time. Big-time.
So much larger than life, huh? Yeah, you know, seriously, this is the thing that Tony is going to get remembered for.
Yes.
Now, it worked out great last night. That's fine. But the idea that Tony is leaning so hard on him, it's not going to work out. It hasn't in the majority of the times. And the other night when he sat at Andrew Vaughn for the leg issue, a 25-year-old that hasn't had leg problems this year, sat him and put Leori in and then did not pinch hit him and Leori failed to do anything.
Because that's what he does, 8 out of 10.
And this is right. This is why Tony La Russa's batting average with Leori Love is under 200. And that's unacceptable. The word special should not be assigned to Leori Garcia. As a matter of fact, when we get a lot of the assets back, Leori's got to go back to a part-time player.
Well, you know who's not having a special rehab assignment is Aloy. So
this is forever. This is forever. Yeah, last week he was added to the 60-day. Why not put him on the 90-day?
Well, he played in the field yesterday, but have you seen the lack of offense?
Last time I saw, he actually, I think he had a home run, and that was a few days ago, and he's dried up since.
Yeah. One home run in 14 games.
Yeah.
And he did walk 3 times yesterday, which is nice because that's something the White Sox don't like to do. But
if you're not hitting, but you're walking like a Grandal last year, that was okay. We accepted that.
Yeah, but you know what you have to do? And I said it last week. You can't go 6 days in a row without a home run. See, in this here baseball, this day and age, you got to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And you can't go stretches where you get a home run, and then 5-6 games, no home run, and then you get a home run. I mean, Aloy's batting 196. Again, old school stat. But, you know, Tony said he's nowhere close. He's not coming up this week. He's not, I mean, just got in the field. But, you know, those aren't saving numbers. Those aren't like the Messiah coming to help you out. So it's going to take some time.
Hey, as we talked about last week, Brian, I think you were the one to say it. Not one of those people on the IL right now
is Bryce Harper.
Are saviors.
And there's no
all together, will they be saviors if they get hot? Maybe.
Yeah, well, but they better start on Monday.
And that is my point. We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
About how this is critical. Two series, Twins and Guardians. Nothing more important than the Twins. And I'm actually going to two of the games this week.
Lurie's going to start both those games.
Well, of course he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course he is. I'm concerned. I have real concern.
But hey,
and want to hear from Sox fans, 312-332-3776. What is your level of concern heading to that series with the Twins?
Or optimism, maybe.
Or optimism.
Yeah.
Or cautiously optimistic, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, Liam Hendricks even brought it up, how important this stretch is. I mean, he's paying attention. He knows. A lot of guys don't even know who they play in the next series, which town they're going to be in. They just,
they tell you that, right? But do you really believe that? I don't believe that.
What? That they don't know?
When they say that, I don't know. It's one game at a time.
I've covered baseball, and I got to tell you, of all the professional sports I covered over the years, Your baseball players,
really?
Not the in terms of Mensa members. They're like.
Wait, that's not a qualification?
Well, a lot of them didn't go to college. And that's, you know, they go right in.
Sure.
They go high school.
Yeah.
They go to minor leagues, whatever. But, I mean, I'm just saying, a lot of them truly aren't aware. And, a lot of them basically get on the bus, get on the plane, go to the hotel. They don't even know who they're playing.
See, and the fact of prepping, that seems to be a little of a surprise, right? Because
you have
to prep for the team.
Liam Hendricks knew that they have a stretch of 15 games and 14 days against division.
Well, God bless him. Everybody should know.
He brought it up, and he actually said what we said last week. This is a clarifying stretch. This is a defining stretch for the front office, he said.
No doubt.
I mean, he said that he gave you the options we gave you. You're either going to hit the accelerator and get back in this thing and maybe actually control the division. You're going to run in place like you've been doing for 2 months. Or you're going to fall further behind, and now Rick Hahn's going to have to decide at August 2nd that we're out of it, and we're going to have to start figuring out the future and what that means come trade deadline.
312-332-3776. Optimistic, not so much, or cautiously optimistic about that series versus the Twins coming up. Boy, that Byron Buxton, we're going to learn to hate him if we don't already.
Mm-hmm.
He is a stud. And we've seen him in the past, and he's not been able to stay on the field for very long. But what do you know this year? He's found health. That's great. Great. Awesome. So, as Steve Stone has made it very clear, that's the guy that is going to really carry the team, and he really has so far. So we have to find a way to shut him down.
Well, and you also have to find a way to start hitting home runs. And
yes,
my guy, John Heyman. I mean, I tried to get in front of this thing last week, right? And I tried to get you interested in Ian Happ, right?
Yes,
And you were just lukewarm at best.
Lukewarm. I'm not up against the trade deadline just yet.
Okay, but important stretch coming up. Okay, maybe you need an Ian Happ type player to get you through that 15 games.
Oh, so pop a trade like right now?
Yeah, because he's playing. Maybe you haven't been paying attention. He got on base again 3 times yesterday. He's had a hell of a month.
No, I have. I guess I've conditioned myself to just assume that we're waiting to the trade deadline.
Well, don't wait, because John Heyman reported that he's on the Yankees shopping list. Okay, I tried to get you interested last week, Rick Hahn.
Rick maybe. It wasn't really on my radar, but Rick maybe. What would the cost be, Brian?
Well, I don't know, but now that the Yankees are there, see, the longer you wait, the more teams interested. The Yankees, Joey Gallo stinks.
He's such a big pickup for them too, right?
Well, he's awful, and he can't hit, and so they're tired of watching that, and they have a list of like 4 guys, and two guys probably aren't even going to be traded, right? So then you get down to Benintendi and Ian Happ. And I'm telling you, they're not going to wait around August 2nd. They want to start bolstering their
roster. Well, I would love to know that is on Rick Hahn's radar then.
Yeah. I'll give you some Ian Happ numbers after
good.
The break.
We'll do that. We'll take a break, come back. We've got Owen waiting. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. It's a Saturday morning in the First Midwest Bank studio. In the window here on State Street, Xander and Hanley will be right back to take your calls and talk more baseball on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
2-2 on Garcia. The pitch. Swing and a base hit to right. Haisley's going to be sent around third. The throw by Yastrzemski is late. White Sox take the lead. Leury Garcia with a two-out single, and it's 1-0.
That could be the hit of the season for Leury.
It happened, Brian. It happened. Leury Garcia.
Two strikes, two outs.
Adam Haisley, who after the Mendick injury, I really didn't want to see him again play, but speedy kid. Thankfully, he crossed the plate. We needed that win.
Thank God they pinch ran too, right?
Yeah,
And thank God Joe McEwing didn't get another runner thrown out the plate, because then people would be upset again.
Right, and they would. And I don't know, has that been an issue for you? I mean, look, we don't like to see anybody thrown out at the plate, but the idea, what he was doing, what he has been doing, because in the offense is struggling, he's trying to squeeze out every run and willing to take that risk. And it never really, really bothered me too much.
No, but I mean, see, when you have to make decisions and be more aggressive than you normally would because your offense isn't all that.
Oh, no, it's a bad situation to be in the first place.
I mean, you do. I think you lead the league, if not Major League Baseball, 13 guys getting nailed at the plate.
But I think that was close to the top of a list you don't want to be on top of.
Yeah, but I mean, so it's unfortunate when you're not scoring enough, then now you're taking liberties or gambles that you normally wouldn't take. But yeah, it worked out yesterday. But I just the idea that Lurie is on the cusp and you're going to have to see more of Lurie, and that's what I heard from Tony again, scares me a bit. But last night, two strikes, two outs, he delivered, and that's old school baseball, winning the game 1-0.
Hey, look, maybe this is the start of him getting hot. He's a streaky player, and if that's what this is, I'll take it.
Well, Tony said, getting closer and closer. Last 2 weeks, if you're watching, they're not his at-bats.
That's what drives me nuts. It's like, instead of, it's just Bass Ackwards, right? It's like, yeah, you know what? Failure, 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 and I'm going to keep playing you until you actually succeed. Don't worry about all the games we've lost because you haven't come through. Now, look, I'm not putting everything on his back, but obviously it seems to be a little different. We're going to go, before we talk about Ian Happ, we're going to go to Owen in Willowbrook. He joins us pretty much every week, always has something to say about the Sox. Hey, Owen, you're on with Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good show. The thing about Lurie yesterday, it's almost like a blind squirrel finding in a nut. I mean, he got a mistake pitch, and thank God the guy at first base.
He can capitalize on it.
Made an error on giving Sheets, who, you know, obviously has got a real slow bat, too. Mm-hmm. But the guy that really still keeps in my mind, I know he robbed the hit yesterday, but Moncada. My God, I can't believe La Russa put him in the two-hole against Ohtani the other day. I mean, if they don't try to get Benintendi, who would actually help them from the left side, they don't have a left-handed hitter in this lineup. And
well, they have them. They just aren't hitting.
Well,
that's the difference. I mean, if they were playing to potential, this might not be an issue. Now, I'm glad you brought up that Moncada really slapped one, because he did yesterday, and Yastrzemski robbed it. But you're right. I mean, you know, right before the injury, he had a great game against, I think it was Detroit. And everybody's got to come to play against these Twins, or we're screwed.
No, not to take anything away from him. It was glad to see him have a great game against Detroit, but I think everybody has great games against Detroit.
Well, yeah, you can only play the game that you have in front of you. And
But the point is to be able to be a playoff contender and be able to work championships. And you've seen how they attack pitchers in the playoffs. And I keep going back to the Houston series. We just got destroyed.
Yep.
Because we don't have Grinder, and I'm telling you, you can just see on that with Moncada on that slider inside, he has a hole in his swing. He doesn't let the ball all the way in, and I mean, you know, he just at least if he's gonna, I know they got to be committed to him because of the contract they have with him.
Mm-hmm.
At least Garcia, if it ever came down to it, we you know, we don't owe him as much, but.
He just signed
December, three years.
Right?
Yeah.
And Tony talks more about him than he does Moncada.
Well, I mean, look, Moncada signed a 5-year, $70 million deal. He averages $14 million a year. He's got two more years left. And I mean,
that keeps going up, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it averages $14 million.
Yeah, average, yeah.
I would, if they probably won't do it because, of course, you got the kid from Cleveland last year at second base, and he's in our division, and Cleveland unloaded him on us. But if I could get rid of Moncada for Benintendi in the division, I'd do it tomorrow. They probably won't. You couldn't do it.
No.
But I would get rid of him tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Owen, thanks for the call. Yeah,
thanks, Owen. I mean, at the time, they bought out 2 years of free agency and arbitration, right? So they thought they were doing a team-friendly deal at 5 years, $70 million. Mm-hmm. And that 2019 season, you know, he had an OPS of over 900.
Yeah, so, we were all good about that, yeah.
But, I mean, it's been awful.
It has been.
I mean, before he went on the DL, okay, of the 302 Major League Baseball players who had 90 or more at-bats, okay, 302 qualified, 90 or more at-bats, this was before he went on the DL. He was 302nd in batting average, OBP, and slugging. It can't get any worse than that. He was bottom of 300. There's bad, and there's not delivering, and there's not earning your money, and there's that.
All right, Brian, I've got a question for you now. Okay. We already know that even though Leury has not been what we've needed him to be, except for last night, and Tony continues to play him, yet Moncada is struggling. How much time do we give Moncada before Tony sits him and plays Leury instead?
Well,
I don't want that scenario, but I'm asking out loud because he loves Garcia.
Well, I mean, that's not struggling what Moncada's doing. That's not showing up. I mean, you know, he has what? No
well,
home
whatever
runs
adjective you want, whatever adjective you want to assign to it.
When you have that much money, they're not going to DFA him, right? They're not going Dallas Keuchel deal.
There's no way. Right.
Because they owe him too much money. He's got two more years after this one. He's untradeable at this point. You better hope the light bulb goes on. And he has a great game and then crickets. And then he has a great game and then crickets. I mean, there's no consistency there. You don't even get the hint that he's going to get hot or there's a streak.
Yeah, but then again, there was that ball that he hit yesterday. And, you know, I will take that. That is just a small bit of consolation for me to want to see what he does today.
Well, you have to. I mean, you have to keep trying.
Well, yeah, beyond that, right. But Moncada is not Garcia. Garcia has been a utility guy. Moncada was the guy that we're counting on. And he's had nagging injuries, and now he's back. And Owens was right. He's got a hole in his swing. But yesterday, he hit the ball hard. And hopefully that's an indication of things to come. Unfortunately, it was a fabulous play by Yastrzemski.
Well, look, we've been saying it, you know, last couple of weeks. When you look at the list of 10 or whatever was on the IL, Grandal and Moncada jump out at you. Your stars have to be your stars. The guys you put bank on, put the big money. It doesn't matter what.
And there's some huge money on just those two.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know there's some big deal coming before August 2nd. They're not getting Juan Soto, although that'd be a hell of an idea. And you want to excite a fan base in the clubhouse, go do that. I don't think Mike Rizzo, even though he's a former Sox executive, now running the Nationals into the ground, you know, he's going to help out the old team. But you need a guy like that. But if short of getting a guy like that, you better get the Moncadas of the world and Grandals of the world to start delivering more often than not. It doesn't matter what Leury Garcia does, or it doesn't matter that Danny Mendick was coming along and really being a contributor till he's out for the season.
Those are all Band-Aids.
Absolutely.
We're talking about main players. All right, let's switch gears for just a second here. You brought up Ian Happ.
Yes.
And you're going to give me some numbers here. But before you do, as Brian's talking the numbers, we're going to play a little game high-low here. Okay? If you want to see Ian Happ on the White Sox, you tell me one player you will trade for Ian Happ, either in AAA or on the big ball club. Whatever that is, and we will tell you if that's too high a price or too low. 312-332-3776. 3776. You mentioned Dylan. I'm going to say too high. Okay? So we're playing high-low.
Okay. Just
playing high-low for Ian Happ.
It's borderline, but you can't part with Dylan Cease.
Right. So throw us a name, and then we'll let you know, in our opinion, too high or too low. Okay, so Happ's numbers. What do we got?
Okay, so first of all, you get the added bonus of the nickname Happy. All right, so you love that.
Yeah.
This is his June, okay? 27 games, a 948 OPS. His 2.1 WAR is fourth in the National League of all the outfielders, okay? He is slashing 286, 386, and 467, but he's got 8 home runs, 19 doubles, 37 RBI, and 40 bases on balls. And his defense has been much, much better, and he's a switch hitter. I tried selling you last week before the Yankees got involved, and now here come the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees don't have him yet. I'm not worried about that.
Well, and again, you know, if you want to make a big splash, go get Juan Soto. But you'd have to mortgage half your organization to do that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Yankees don't want to see Joey Gallo go another 26 at-bats without a hit. And Aaron Hicks stinks, too. So here are the guys. They would love Juan Soto, but again, probably unavailable. Brian Reynolds has been on their radar, likely not going to be moved. Benintendi is a free agent after the end of the season, had a great start, been struggling. He's going to be moved by Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the Orioles, who believe they're on the right path to getting back to being winners. I don't know about that necessarily, but they're not giving up some of their young outfielders like Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes. They might give up Anthony Santander.
And Mancini.
Yeah, and so you're getting down to guys like Benintendi, and Hap is under control through next year, right? So so you have that going for you. But you could do a lot worse than Ian Hap, who can deliver from both sides of the plate, and he's been an on-base machine of late.
All right, 312-332-3776. Brian just laid out the case for the Sox to acquire Ian Hap. We're playing high-low. Give us a name. Who would you trade for Ian Happ, and we'll tell you if it's high or low in our opinion. Hey, we've got Chicago Red Stars tickets to give away at 10:30 and 10:45. We are here until 11. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. We're talking White Sox, the hero of last night, Leori, the workhorse.
Special, that one.
Lynn. Yep, Lynn was a workhorse yesterday, got himself out of trouble.
Bullpen, nice.
Yeah, and the bullpen, right. You know, we've got to give them props. And we're all worried as Sox fans for that Twins series. Are we optimistic? Are we not optimistic or cautiously optimistic? 312-332-3776. We also have a Twitter poll that we will get to on the other side of the break. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Swing and a miss, strike three on a cutter. Remember that strikeout. Giants leave them loaded in the first. Two walks, two Ks in the inning.
Oh, the home runs are too easy here. Put a higher fence and move the fence back.
Yes. All those things happen. Swing and a miss, strike three. Oh, am I happy that happened. DJ can stop whining. After two from San Francisco. Giants and Sox, nothing. Is that how it goes?
Yes, thank you.
Pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. He beat him on a cutter. Lynn threw six, keeping the White Sox tied. Nothing.
Well, it started out pretty rough for Lance Lynn, but he came through. Nice performance last night. Again, it was a win for the White Sox. Leury Garcia with two outs, two strikes, knocking in Adam Haseley, who was on the base paths as a pinch runner. And that was a good idea because he pinch ran for Gavin Sheets, right, who is not
fleet of foot.
Quick. That is the stony way of putting it. Not fleet of foot.
Did you hear Len there? He subliminally said happy. I think he wants Ian Happ too.
Oh, really? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So every time I use the word happy today, mm-hmm. I know what I really mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go get him.
Interesting.
Well, you think Kansas City they would trade Andrew Benintendi into the division necessarily? I don't think that would be their preferred move, right?
Well, look. If the price is right, they will, because Benintendi is his contract's up, right? So he would most likely be a rent-a-player.
Oh, he's definitely a rent-a-player.
So explain to me why that would be a concern for the Royals, who are rebuilding. They're nowhere near anything, and likely Benintendi would not be around past this year on the White Sox, and who knows where he goes from there.
Well,
and
how old is he? I mean,
he's like, 32, 33?
Oh, he's not that old. Come on.
Oh, no, I thought he was.
No, I mean, how long ago was Chris Sale traded? I mean, he was the guy that the Sox wanted And the Red Sox at the time said, no thanks, try again. And then you got Yoan Moncada instead. But he was the centerpiece of the Sox.
Right, but that trade was a while ago.
He was a young Red Sox player at the time. I would guess he's what, 26, 7, 28? I'd have to look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, but he's not in his 30s.
I thought he was. Let's see
here. Yeah.
The mouse is not cooperating today.
Okay. Okay. You're talking about your computer, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the computer. All right. So you know what? He is. He's 27.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's not. So why wouldn't you keep him around? Especially if he helped you get to the playoffs, right?
I mean, well, he will turn on Tuesday. No, on Wednesday he will turn 28.
Okay, still on the right side of 30,
yep,
right?
Yep, I actually thought he was older. Well, then, yeah. okay, so maybe the White Sox, if they did acquire him, maybe they actually sign him. But that doesn't happen very often, and he would command big money. And well, we don't know how much Rick Hahn's hands are tied.
I mean, he's had what you call a streaky career, right? I mean, he hasn't been the guy that the White Sox envisioned, nor certainly – the Red Sox got rid of him, so
Does he turn out to be an AJ Pollock, kind of serviceable, but not worth it all?
But you know, you were going to play Drew Carey high or low, right?
Yeah,
you're going to go Price is Right on us.
Yeah, I do. High, low. What's the price to pay for Ian Happ?
Or any
trade if you want.
See, if I'm Jed Hoyer, I'm not so sure I want to trade with the White Sox because you guys have gotten the better of couple.
Yeah, but you know what? I really like, I kind of like this idea. Hold on here. You ready for this? This is Mike in New Buffalo playing high-low for Ian Happ. You're on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. Hey, Mike, run it by us. What you got?
I was thinking the Sox would have to give up Jimenez and also give up Mercado. And also give up Shields, and in return, Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ come to
the White Sox. You mean Sheets? You mean Gavin Sheets?
Gavin Sheets, yes.
Yeah, Shields. Yeah, we'll give up Shields.
Yeah.
James Shields, sure.
I mean, I think you got to give up something, obviously.
Okay, so the Cubs fans would get Jimenez back and Moncada. No. We get Contreras and Happ. You know what? I'm on that. I'm on that train.
Jed Hoyer's not on that. Are you kidding me?
I'm on that train.
He wants
to get back at the White Sox.
Well, that's not getting back at the White Sox. That's burying your team. You got, you want Yoan Moncada's contract? Jed said he wants to spend money intelligently. Mike. You don't want to inherit that contract.
I know what he said.
Okay, but, come on. You're going to get an injury-prone Eloy Jimenez who knows what his career is going to look
like.
Okay,
so that's neither high nor low for me. That is just right. The porridge is just right, Brian.
Well, of course it is, but from the Cubs standpoint, it's like...
Well, I'm not from the Cubs standpoint.
Okay, that is ridiculous is what it is. James Shields would be better, maybe.
312-332-3776. Alan Portage Park, jumping in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Al.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I wanted to say that I'm very optimistic about this stretch of games coming up for the White Sox. I think it's, what is it, 6 with the Twins and 4 with the Guardians.
Yeah, sell it to us.
Yeah, so here's the deal. The Sox season, it's played out, and it is what it is right now. And their only path to the playoffs and success is to take care of their own business with the Twins and with the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a ton of games coming up. And take care of the business, guys. It'll make it easier for us as fans because
how do they take care of the business? We haven't seen the business being taken care of. That's our concern, Al.
Yeah, tell us why you're optimistic.
Yeah, why you think the business will be taken care of.
There you go.
Great question. So, I mean, they've got players. You know, there's been injuries, obviously, things have happened. But these guys can put it together.
Who heats up here?
Well, Abreu definitely.
Well, he's hot. He's hot now, but we need more heat from somebody else.
Let's hope Moncada can stay on both feet and stick around for a while. We know that he's had stretches. He's shown great flashes. Maybe he does.
This would be the time to do it for his future with the White Sox.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of like prove it or lose it time for him. You know, of course, Tim Anderson, he's a player. He could get it done. These guys start putting it together. We've got some pitchers who can certainly pitch. And, you know, maybe it's the time to prove it against the two teams that they're chasing. It makes it easier.
You know, and Leori may be the savior for all of us.
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, I know why people can't stand Leori and whatnot. But, yeah, Leori's not the kind of guy that you want playing as much as Leori's been playing. I mean, he's supposed to be a fill-in guy. And not as many, you know, but the fact is he's been playing, so it's certainly not high expectations. But, no, I just think that it's time for the Sox to –
Look, we believe that, too. We just don't know how they're going to get that business done, how they're going to end up approving it. Yes, if Moncada's bat starts getting hot and he sustains, that's going to help. If I'm not even thinking Jimenez, you know, if he's done for the year, I'm not even he's not even in the conversation for me anymore, but Grandal's got to come up.
No, thank you.
Yeah, Grandal's got to show up, and he's got I don't care whether he's walking or hitting. Just get on base, hit those home runs. I mean, we need bombs from him. And like Brian said, we have home run hitters on this team. We actually need the home runs to be hit.
And you know what, guys, if these guys start playing and the wins pile up against the couple teams in the next 2 weeks. Then
well, they have to. I mean, it's not if.
It's not if. If they don't, it's going to get blown up.
Let's say when they happen. Okay. When they happen, now the front office says, okay, we've got a shot here, and maybe that's when they add people. That's when it makes their job a little easier that, okay, we're buyers now. And,
Al, I love your optimism. I hope it is as catchy as the COVID.
We still need a little substantial evidence to your optimism.
Right.
And not the, you know, well, they'll take care of business. There's, five back?
I think so.
Five back today, four and a half out of a wild card spot. It's the same spot they've been in for basically 7
weeks. Yes, they're running in place. They're running in place. Look, what Al said, it is just incredibly optimistic, and we appreciate Al's opinion. You and I are a little more sour on this. Although we know what needs to happen, we just don't have confidence that it's actually going to happen. Before we hit break, I want to listen to this. This is Lance after the game, after that performance yesterday. Lance Lynn, always good for a soundbite.
You know, coming off an off day after losing 2-3, we got to find a way to win games. So we're a one-run game there on the road right there. It was a nice win for us tonight.
You enjoy that kind of battle, scoreless? There's something about it.
As a competitor, you love the back and forth. No runs scoring, but as a you like a little couple of runs there just to give yourself some wiggle room. But, it's fun to compete. I pitched against Alex a long time, so that was fun to compete against him. And, you know, we were able to come through there at the end.
Kind of looking like your old self tonight.
You gotta call me old.
Like your old self.
No, it's coming back. That's part of the process here. You look at the NBA rehab starts. First couple starts, I threw the ball well at times, and then had some bad luck, and things kind of happen. But I think once you get in the flow of what you're doing and your pitches and things like that, then everything starts rolling a little bit different.
Hey, Lance, you're old. What'd you call me old?
You see, 35.
He's old enough to know better. Yeah. And you know what else I heard in that clip? I'm not sure you caught it.
Cleaning cleats.
What's that?
Was someone cleaning cleats? What was going on?
Yeah, I think so. Knocking the mud out of the cleats.
Yeah.
You know what else I heard in that clip? I'm not sure you caught it. I heard a subliminal message that went something like this. Offense, start scoring runs.
Oh, yeah. See, happy. He didn't say happy. But
no, he did not. But are you saying he was
the starting pitching has been more than serviceable.
It has been. It has been. So many times we've said, why our pitcher can't do any much more than they did. No runs means no wins.
The home runs, 61 home runs, 61 home runs in 36 games. Okay.
Eloy was projected to hit those himself
in 75 games. Only three teams have fewer home runs than your Chicago White Sox. Only three out of 30.
Cubs are one of them, right?
Don't believe so. I don't believe so. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, you know what? We should compare and contrast.
But I mean, and you know, the Cubs are 15 games under 500. There are some great storylines. Now, I can make the case, and Will, before we got out here, that might have been their most impressive victory of the season yesterday because of how it started and how it ended.
And they grind, and it was a grinding performance, you know, by
Lance. Christopher Morel, I mean, you know, I don't know if it was baseball ops or rock star manager David Ross who decided to move him down in the lineup earlier in the week because he was cooling off big time, but he took some pressure off, and all of a sudden he's starting to heat up again. But you know, I just, if you're the Chicago White Sox, you have to hit the ball out of the ballpark much more frequently than you've been doing.
And you need Johnny Cueto to remind yourself, hey, hit him in the air. Did you hear that the other day?
Yeah.
When he gave up a couple home runs, he came to the dugout and said, hey, guys, get him up in the air. They're carrying. Yeah. Oh, home runs. Yeah, that's right. We forgot. We should hit home runs. Yeah.
And Tony says you don't want that mindset to creep in, but it's a fine balance, right?
Well, at this point, let whatever productive mindset creep in. We need it. 312-332-3776. Talking baseball, we have more audio to play. We're going to get around to talking about the new head coach for the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll probably hit upon an interesting move by Bears management that popped yesterday, Brian. You heard about this, right? Soup no longer being served?
We buried the lead, too, though. Zach LaVine's a very wealthy man.
And I was getting around to that. He is, and we've got that poll. As a matter of fact, why don't we hold on to that? We'll come back. You go ahead and set up the poll, and we'll talk about Zach being on the Bulls. And maybe it surprised you. Maybe not, you know, that he has come back. We'll hit all of that and more here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Number 8, wearing the red and black, locked in. We'll talk about Zach LaVine signing that max deal before let's take George in River Grove, wants to talk baseball, White Sox, before we get into Zach here on ESPN 1000. Hey George, you're on with Xander and Hanley. What up?
What up is that, answer this question if you can.
Okay.
How many home runs out of 100 home runs that are hit, how many have an influence on the outcome of the game?
Okay, and this is a question you have an answer to?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't know. I would say, I would hope that it's over 50%.
38%. 62% of all home runs have absolutely no influence on the outcome of a game, number one.
Well, define that for me, George. Are you talking about a walk-off home run? How do you judge a home run in the second inning that adds to your, that starts your scoring or adds to your scoring versus the final score?
Yeah, good point.
Well, a home run that doesn't get you within one or two runs of the other team,
okay,
doesn't tie the game, doesn't put you in the lead, or at the end of the game, one run difference is the home run, okay? Most home runs are meaningless. And for you to say, we got to hit more home runs, well, yeah, but if that's not how it works.
Okay, hold on, George. My retort to that
is, I'm holding on. You guys are talking all day, and I got to hold on. Okay.
Well, let's. Okay.
I don't.
All right, George. We'll let you go, and you can listen to our answer. Okay.
Okay, George. The three teams that have fewer home runs than your Chicago White Sox are the Oakland Athletics, who are last in hitting, the Detroit Tigers, who are second to last in hitting, and then you get up to Cleveland is actually contending with 56 home runs. Now, you tell me. When you have 61 home runs, you don't give yourself a chance to get 38% chance of having a home run. The more home runs you hit, the more chance you have of having those home runs be.
Right. It's a numbers game. Okay. So, Brian, go to the top of the list. Tell us the top three teams with home runs, and we'll know where they are in the standings.
The New York Yankees.
Okay. Best team in baseball.
127.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Braves, 118.
And they are sneaking up on. Oh, who's top of that division? Why am I blanking out? They're sneaking up.
They've had a really good season.
Yeah.
Your Houston Astros have 106.
Oh, Dodgers, of course, Atlanta.
Milwaukee Brewers have 110.
No one be Dodgers. Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Those are teams that are elite. They are among the elite teams in baseball right now. So to discount home runs, you can't sit there and be 27th in home runs and tell me, you know, you're going to hope that Lance Lynn gets out of jam and gives you six innings and 104 pitches and the bullpen shuts everyone down.
Or you do what we did against, what was it, the Blue Jays? We had that game where we were spraying hits everywhere. That's fine and good. But can you do that every day? If you can, great. We've not been able to do that, and there's nothing wrong with a home run. Now, as Tony said, if they get in the mindset where it's home run first, then things are really going to start going sideways, right? You don't really want that mindset of home run first. However, if those home runs come like we think that they should for the players that we have on this roster, there's no way it's going to hurt us.
Well, first of all, like you just said, Johnny Cueto is like, and you heard Lance Lynn say, it's a lot less leverage, you know, high stress or high leverage pitches when you have a comfortable lead because you've hit the ball out of the ballpark. Instead of just stringing three hits together, going opposite field and beating the shift and all that. That's wonderful.
You said shift.
I did.
Okay.
And George is one of our best callers, and I didn't mean to give him short change of it, but you just can't.
Right. Look, George asked us our opinion, and that's what we're talking about right now.
I'm just telling you that when you have 61 home runs in 75 games, and you go literally 6 days without a home run, that's why you lose 6 of 8 games. That's part of the reason you lose 6 of 8 games. So there's a whole host of reasons why the Sox are
Look, there's nothing. There's nothing. And it was really weird to hear George say this and really believe that, you know, somehow home runs are bad. There's nothing wrong with them. We should be hitting more than we are now. And if we did, we would have a better record. And I don't think that that's really disputable. We're up against a break already. We'll be back in two. We'll talk about Zach LaVine and the max contract, and we'll set up that Twitter poll here on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley.